broadcasting before and probably after the rapture. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
You love this song.
I can never start this with a straight face.
2 years ago, we did it, and people thought we were crazy.
Ooh, crazy.
What is that?
No idea.
You're an idiot.
I can't think of anything.
Well, folks, Soul Survivor is back. Religious tribes competing for the soul of one person. We've been on the search for our new Soul Survivor contestant, someone who would love the opportunity to speak with some of the most respected leaders from various religions. Religious tribes will compete, quote unquote, because, you know, it's not going to be as cheesy as we just made it sound, for their soul by explaining what it is that their tribe actually believes. And the tribal leaders will not have immunity. Our Soul Survivor will be able to challenge, critique, or question any aspect of all tribal codes. And at the end of the contest, our Soul Survivor will then decide which tribe presented the most compelling case for faith and then reveal to us if they'll be joining the tribe. It always hurts when I talk like this. To help us choose the best contestant, today we have a roundtable discussion happening with a few of the applicants who submitted their names to be our next Soul Survivor. So, our first applicant, state your name, please.
Matt,
you are from what part of Ontario, Matt?
I'm from Southern Ontario.
Right up close to your face.
Exactly.
From Southern. He wants to keep it generic. Matt is from Southern Ontario.
Yeah.
Matt, what's your? Do you have much of a religious background?
I grew up. I was raised Catholic. I think my parents just kind of threw me in there because my grandparents are really Catholic.
So, in order to make the grandparents happy,
they're both dead. But if you want to make them happy from beyond the grave, that's
right.
You
got to do that. So were you baptized as a kid into the Catholic Church?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
How was that for you?
I don't remember because I was so young.
It's wet. Definitely wet.
I almost got rebaptized because I somewhat became a born-again Christian when I was about 21. I grew up Catholic, and then I kind of got away from it, and then I got really into it. My brother had a big born-again experience. Shout out to my brother. And then I got really into it. He got baptized. I was thinking about it. He went away to school for theology. And then I was doing my own research at the time, and then I just got out of it.
Because?
Because too many questions. Everything just fell apart. The idea of suffering, the why do good things happen to bad people, that type of thing.
Right.
And then I went out of my way to start looking into other religions, looking into the philosophical background behind all of them, the scientific questions of whether or not religion and science are compatible.
Yeah.
The NOMA thing. I don't know if you know what that is, the non-overlapping magisteria. And right now I'm just a skeptic. I don't really – I'm an agnostic / atheist, but I'm open to revising my ideals.
Are you really, though, Matt?
I would hope so.
Are you really?
Well,
come on.
It's funny. I would say yes. I would argue yes. I'm willing to change my mind on anything where there's sufficient evidence. I remember you guys might have seen this, but the debate between Bill Nye and Ken Ham.
That was
about creationism.
Let me just say, if you're going to use that to prop up your argument, the Ham on Rye debate, Ham on Nye. that was, come on. The way you sum up that debate goes like this. Was the final question. What would it take for you to change
your
mind?
View?
And Bill Nye said, evidence.
That's right.
Ken Ham said,
nothing.
That's ridiculous.
So, really? You wouldn't change your mind if someone showed you evidence?
No, I'm saying what Ken Ham said
absolutely,
is ridiculous.
Absolutely. So in my mind, yes, I would hope that I'm willing to change my mind based on evidence. If something came out, if a journal came out tomorrow and said that they actually have gravity completely wrong due to quantum mechanics, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually gravity with these caveats of difference, I would go that way because evidence has been brought forward to people that know what they're talking about.
Okay, Matt, what happens when someone says to you, you can't prove there's a God, you can't disprove there's a God?
That's where you lie in agnostic. Everybody's an agnostic, right?
Right.
There's no way to prove, but there's
but
no way
you
to
said,
disprove.
You said you'd be willing to change your mind if there was proof.
If there was proof, yes. Now,
but that's never going to happen.
He said evidence.
I kind of see that as the same, but maybe I got the wrong.
I just – the word – I don't know how much time I have here, but the word God to me, everybody looks at it biblically. It's like what happens when you
that's
die.
That's all the time we have, Matt. We're gonna stop.
I just – I would hope that I'm willing to change my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Is your brother still happy clappy?
Oh yeah, he still goes to church. He's still raising his son Christian. And
do you hate that?
No, I don't hate it. He can do whatever he wants to do. Just don't tell me what to believe.
Does he?
Right? He used to be very fundamentalist, and I was very fundamentalist. And then we had the one time, I remember it was the last time we talked about it, it was like a four-hour debate. It was very cordial, and we were very respectful. And then I just said, he's like, okay, we go our separate ways. We haven't talked about it since.
You haven't talked about it since, no. Huh? Interesting. Is it because you're brothers and you can do that kind of bashing heads thing?
Kind of. It's funny, too, because we grew up, we never argued at all. My brother was my best friend for a long time.
But now, he's not your best friend?
He lives in Hamilton. I don't really see him, right?
Right.
But we always grew up.
See how he pulled back from telling everyone where he lived?
Yeah.
He lives in Hamilton. I live in Southern Ontario.
Southern Ontario. St. Catharines.
Okay.
You want my address?
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to Google you.
But do you think religion screwed up the relationship with your brother?
Somewhat. Like I was saying to my wife last night, there's just some people, you're going to have an enemy no matter what you believe, because someone's going to think that you're an idiot for believing it. And you're going to think people are idiots for believing something else. There's something behind it where I just go, my brother's just, he would think that I'm brainwashed, and I would think that he's brainwashed. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean I don't love him any different. He's a great guy. I love him. He's a great father. He's my brother. Mm. But it's just we believe different things. When we don't talk about it, it doesn't cause a rift. Right? He knows where I lie. I know where he lies.
What do you think about the Soul Survivor thing?
It's a genius idea. Not to stroke your ego too much, but it's a great idea.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Careful, those headphones are only so big, buddy.
Easy. Easy. Yeah, we did it, 2 years ago with Catalina?
That's what your promo says.
What?
2 years is what your promo says.
Yeah, 2 years ago with Catalina, and we had Tribe Hare Krishna. I'm going to the Hare Krishna temple tonight to see Bhakti Maharaj Swami. And who else? Mormon, Hare Krishna,
Buddhist?
Jesus, Buddhist. I always forget the fifth one. Islam. Yeah. Thanks for helping me out with my own information.
He's a genius.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Applicant number two, you state your name, please.
My name is Greg.
Greg with two G's.
With two G's.
Greg, welcome.
Thank you.
How did you find out about this?
I saw it on Indeed. I was questing, and part of my questing was to quest on Indeed, and I saw your ad.
What does questing mean?
I don't know. I was bumming around on the internet, and I saw the posting, and I said, I can do that.
Why? That's a good. Why can you do that?
Why? Well, because I'm already starting out at zero. I wasn't raised in the Christian faith. Mostly just sort of a pseudo Buddhist Tibetan form of religion that ended up being a fake guy. Lobsang Rampa. Have you ever heard of him?
I'm sorry. His name is lopsided. What?
Lobsang Rampa.
A lopsided grandpa is what I heard.
And
he's fake?
He's fake. He had a whole series of books, big bestseller in the 70s. I had a mom who was a...
I'm looking this dude up.
Yeah. Tuesday Lobsang Rampa.
Lobsang Rampa.
And it turns out he was just a plumber from Great Britain.
Really?
Yes, and he was cashing in on the whole at that time, New Age movement, and he had a whole big series of books, made himself a lot of money, ended up retiring in Calgary, and passed away there.
Oh, he's dead.
Oh, he's dead.
This
was years and years ago. Okay. So I had a mother who was an ex-Anglican and then became an ex-Catholic, and so, yeah, I was baptized, but... Really, we never attended church, and we were anti-church, really. So the only format that I had was Buddhist teaching.
Right, right.
And now I'm an ex-Buddhist.
A lopsided one.
Lobsang have gone different ways.
Are you as anti this could be true as Matt?
I'm not so much anti... I don't think it's so much about the faith system. I think it's about the structure that people put around it. So I do have a problem with organized religion, but I've softened that view over the years because I kind of look at it now and I think, well, what are the alternatives? What else is there out there? Does it matter if it's L. Ron Hubbard's Scientology and he's a sci-fi writer? Does it matter that the Mormon church was started by a guy who was basically a con man and got run out of the state. Yes and no, right? Do you look at the teachings and start to say, that's something I can work with, or I'm going to go back and nitpick that, Muhammad liked to, run around and declare war on people. There's different parts of that. Mm. And I get to the point where I have to say...
Matt's moving away from Greg. He doesn't want to get hit by lightning.
I think it's a question of looking for something practical, but at a certain level, developing a degree of faith that goes beyond reasoning.
Well, let me ask you that. What is faith?
I think faith is believing past the point of logic. you know, to get outside a reasoning, logical environment and standing back.
Can you pass the mic back to Matt just for a second? Matt, faith is believing past a point of logic.
Believing something without evidence. The Bible quotes it as believing in things that are, what was the word?
Unseen.
Unseen, right? So you don't have evidence for it.
Right. Are you okay with that?
No.
So you're never going to have faith?
No. Well, faith means different things to different people, correct?
Well, I think
but we can all agree that the faith thing, you can kind of go, hey, if you can't really prove it, so you got to have faith to believe it.
Yeah.
So you're never
going to
believe.
Is that a good thing?
That's a good question. That's what I've been wrestling with strongly for the last 5-6 years.
But I think the two of you have the luxury of being raised in a faith. And when a real tragedy...
Luxury, I don't know about that.
No, it is a luxury because when something sideswipes you out of the blue, when fate comes down and delivers a train of pain on your tracks, you've got something to fall back on. And you can say as much as you want.
Yeah.
You're emotionally vested in that environment. And when you're in a really bad spot, you will lean back on that faith.
Of course you will.
You will lean back on that conditioning as a child.
Right.
But it doesn't... There's no correlation to whether it's true or not.
That's not the point. The point is...
There is a point, though.
The point is...
People want to believe things that are true.
Right,
the point is if the core is empty,
yeah,
the core is hollow, will it collapse? So will I meet the death of a child or a spouse the same way you will? I don't have anything except Marcus Aurelius and James Brown. So, you know, is that going to sustain me?
Those are two good guys to fall back on.
They are. They are. You know, a little James Brown and a walk on the beach, and I've got life figured out.
Yeah. But I love that quote.
The Church of James Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, he you know, I was going through a really tough time about 3 years ago, and I will not underestimate by saying that he saved me. What the power of his music.
You're saying that when push comes to shove, everyone's worst case scenario is losing a child, I think. So
sure,
let's just stay with that one. You lose a child. You're saying the default is they might go, you know, have something to go to fall back on, right? They might lean.
Absolutely. I think that happens all the time.
But the pushback to that is if you're so ticked off with it, wouldn't that make you even go further? Wouldn't you then look upwards and say, really? My kid's going to die? Yeah, then you and I are officially done.
No, I think it's the opposite. I think you fight against something that you have an attachment to. So you can go around and complain, you know, I my father was never any good, or I hate my mother, but talk to an orphan, right? So they don't even have that to go back on. You're rebelling against something that's in place.
Wow.
So
what do you do for a living?
I'm a mind poet.
A mind poet?
Yeah.
Explain that one.
Well, I try to think nice thoughts.
Oh, good.
You get paid for that?
No.
No, okay. Well, okay, hold on. We got to move. I'm just a little mindful of the time. I can talk with you two guys forever. Chess, you better be good, man. These two guys are rocking it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Test subject number 3. I'm going to bring it.
So test subject number 3. So be handing up bananas.
Yeah.
Ray Comfort's bananas. Chess, you're the young dude.
I am. Yeah, definitely.
All the young dudes. David Bowie wrote that song.
Thanks. It's like working with Rain Man here.
Yeah, definitely.
What is your faithy background? Anything or nothing?
Big. Big faithy background. So my mom, very, very faithy. So my mom was a super, super, super Catholic, always raised that way. My dad...
super, super, super Catholic.
Yeah, we're talking like
she had holes
super,
in her hands?
Like I wouldn't surprise me. She's a saint. Shout out, Mom. But
is she listening?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Mom.
Yes. Sorry about the stigmata joke.
Yeah.
So she's very religious. Always kept us on on the right path. That
Do you
way.
Admire her for that?
Yeah.
Even if she
sure.
wasn't listening,
you
would
know
you
what?
Say that?
The fact that it's a personal thing, and she took it there, and she enjoys it, and it means something to her on a deeper level than something I can appreciate. You have to be able to commend that.
Well said.
Yeah. So and then my dad is not very religious. He's religious in his own way.
Like so, beer?
beer and women, yeah. No, but no, it's yeah.
Sorry, beer and woman.
Well, they may not be together. Together?
Yes. He does it in his own way. And he went to, he's tested out. He's been to different temples and different religions.
Oh.
And, you know, and he brought a lot of it back with us. So it really gave us, now we've experienced, you know, extreme Christianity and Catholicism and so on. So now we have something different to think about. And that's what actually brought me here is that I want to see... Like, what else is spiritually fulfilling out there? What else is out there that can change my mind, change the way you see everything you see every day?
What if we get the same Buddhist guy we had on last, or a couple years ago, Bob Thurman, who's friends with the Dalai Lama, buddies with Richard Gere. So what if we get Bob on and he tells you Buddhist stuff and you go, love it, want it, do it. Is that gonna? How's your mom gonna feel about that?
My mom's super open minded. Yeah, she's very open minded. You know what? She's not about endorsing the Catholic mandate. It's about the personal fulfillment, which is why I know my parents are behind me 100% on this. That
really?
She's really about making sure that you can see the beauty in God everywhere, no matter what your God is called.
How'd you find out about this?
Actually, my friend shot it to me because he knows that I was a really big, I'm really good at debating about this type of stuff. And
you're a debater
really,
on this?
We have a mind poet and a debater.
Yeah, it's great. You know, so we debate all the time on this type of stuff. And he shot it to me and I knew that this was instantly something that, you know, it had my attention.
What was the last time, when was the last time you had just an amazing debate on this subject?
30 minutes ago with my mom.
Really?
In the car. Yep.
What about us?
Yeah, no, with the, yeah.
And with these guys. Yeah, 100%. It seems like it's a big topic for everyone.
I was going to ask. I did random phone calls just before you came on. It was a brilliant segment.
Genius.
And I was going to ask the people this question: which religion scares you the most, and which one makes the most sense? Do you have an answer at this point? Not saying you're buying into one.
No,
but.
No. I'm going to have to go with scares me the most. I'm going to go with Catholicism because
first of all. You got to say it right, dude.
Yeah.
Catholicism.
Catholicism. Yeah. See, now I'm going to
spank
my mom.
It does make
Thank
sense.
You.
It does make sense because it's Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Catholicism.
Yeah.
Get it? And it's a catechism.
I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah. But it's Catholicism.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Catholicism on this one.
Okay, so hold on. That makes the most sense or scares you?
Scares me.
Really?
It really does scare me. 100%.
Because your mom scares you?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not our cooking. I swear.
This guy's funny.
I brought you in the world. I can take you out.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Bill. Where are my notes? I had notes here somewhere. Yeah. They're on the back of my
But makes
pages.
Sense, I'd have to say, right now is Islam and Buddhism.
See, you're
Islam makes sense to you?
Yeah.
You know,
that's where I
want to
go.
Because
most people, I think, these days are going,
as military
scares me.
As I am, I do a lot of volunteering with the military. All my friends are military. I like to try and see that other side. There's always two sides to every picture. And so I've done some research into it, and I'm not going to lie, it's very misrepresented.
Okay.
Amen, brother.
All right. Chess, you are an interesting dude.
Thank you.
All right, our next, what is it? What's the word again, Tim?
Applicant. Write it down. Folks.
For Soul Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please state your name.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ooh, I love your acting.
Just as good looking.
I
don't know what that is.
What's the best Ryan Reynolds joke you've heard?
Well, let's see. Why don't we just put it to a nice little radio friendly religious joke? How's
yes,
that?
Let's do that.
Why did the Amish unmarried girl get excommunicated?
Okay, remember this is Christian radio station. Yeah. We gotta be careful.
Two men a night.
Oh, that is just
too much.
Horrible.
Too much. Too soon.
Horrible.
I like that.
Why did Batman stop going to church?
Here it comes.
Christian Bale. It's not how you tell the joke.
No.
No, I missed it. Folks, stay tuned later. I'll fix that joke. Ryan, your upbringing, your stuff, your what you've already kind of been doing?
Okay, well, I grew up north of Toronto. I was never baptized.
Southern Ontario, though.
Actually, it's a town called Pefferla, population 5 and a cow.
I know.
It's a fantastic part of the world.
I know it
very
well.
Very rural.
Yeah.
And, I went to church, Sunday school. Never baptized, once again, to my parents' credit. And I kind of moved. I remember it was after I was like 5 or 6 years old, and I think the Sunday school teacher actually went to my father and said very politely, Mr. Reynolds, it'd be nice if you kept Ryan at home after the first part of the...
That happened to me, too.
Yeah. Well, I asked too many questions.
Yes.
I mean, like 500-year-old Noah having 3 kids. And I mean, this is before Clint Eastwood even did it, right?
Or Viagra.
Yeah. So... you know, and talking donkeys, talking snakes. I just couldn't abide, and they couldn't offer me any answers. So
right. So would you say, like, what are you now? What are you, an atheist? Are you agnostic? Are you, listen, I'm legitimately open to anything here.
Well, I think then it was agnostic. Like, what do you what is yours? Red letter agnostic theist.
Theist. Well done.
Right. I think I was that when I was probably coming up on 15, 16. That lasted from
You were a red letter agnostic theist when you were 15?
Yeah.
Dude, you're thinking too much.
No, I know. Never stops. But I think it worked its way into, like, first couple of years of university into atheism, because I didn't even know what the word meant then. I didn't know what agnostic meant then.
Right.
And I think, unfortunately, into my 30s, seeing everything that was happening in the world, I actually went to anti-theist.
Right.
And I started causing trouble. Like, in conversation, I would get angry with people who would profess their faith.
Why?
Well, it's just... You're an idiot. You know.
Wait.
No,
wait.
No. But I've come past that now.
No. I was just gonna say, could you don't hold back.
tell you what you really think. No. But what I'm saying is, I found it difficult. Like, it's not like I hate religious people. You know,
You just have no time for them.
It's like someone comes up to you in a bar you don't want to talk to, or something like that.
Happens so often.
Sorry, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And it's not a matter of lack of evidence. I think it's the proselytizing more than anything.
Right.
Like, the tax break thing bothers me, but like, don't come and knock on my door. Don't try and teach my kids this stuff. Just, yeah. But
what do you think about government funded Catholic schools?
Unfortunate.
I do too.
Ding 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 ding.
Yeah.
But what happened to me a couple of years ago was I was told I got sick. I have a nerve disorder in that, and it started causing me issue. And
what do you mean a nerve disorder?
It doesn't matter. We don't have to get into that. But when one's faced with their own mortality,
all right, okay,
you start opening doors that you had closed, slammed shut earlier in your life.
Right,
right,
right.
So for the last couple of years, I've been opening doors, and I've been kind of looking around at different religions, waiting for someone to push me through one of them.
So you want to be proselytized now?
Well, I don't know if I want to be. I'd like to be convinced of something a little better, something...
Really?
Yeah. I was, and you can speak to anyone in my life, I was the most determined advocate. I was a miniature, bald Christopher Hitchens with no English accent. It was bad for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah. And the rants on Facebook, I mean, people, half of them would love it, and half of them would, you know, disown me. I'm never talking to you again. Well... Sorry.
Should have a radio show. That's what happens to me. Wow. Okay. Well, gee whiz, I've got so many more questions for you guys. On a scale of 1 to 10, how afraid of you are of death, Ryan?
Zero.
Why? And let me clarify. When I say death, I'm also obviously talking about the finality of death and unsure about what's afterwards and maybe there's nothing and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, because some people go, well, it's going to happen, so why am I going to be afraid of it?
There's zero you can do about it.
Right. But take that point and put it aside. Like, I remember asking Larry King this a number of years ago, and he's terrified. He is terrified of death. So you're saying you have zero fear of death. And some religious people would say, well, I have zero fear of death, too, because after I die, I'm going to heaven.
Well, at least I have something in common with them, then.
You have the zero in common? That's good. We have zero in common. That's good. I like that. Okay, Chess, what about you? 1 to 10. How afraid of...
Zero.
Zero for you, too.
Zero. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Greg?
I give it an 8.
Afraid?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an unknown.
Why do you have to be so different to all these guys here?
Well, that's the whole point. You know, everyone else in here is talking about want, right? At my age, it's need. You know, you already have been raised in a religion. You already have the things. You're just out there dabbling. All of you guys, you're just playing, these two young men. I actually need something. I'm like a hollow shell waiting to be filled. You guys are just trying to get away from your parents still, right? So I like to put that out there.
Right, but what I hear you saying, seriously, is, you know, there's a verse where Jesus said, I've come for those who are sick and need of a doctor. If you think you're all that in a bag of chips and you don't really need faith stuff, you're not going to, you and I aren't going to, it's not going to work.
Absolutely.
And what I hear you saying is, I'm at a point in life now where I really feel the emptiness and I would like something.
I think I'm at the point where I can recognize human weakness and recognize it in myself. My wife is just finishing up 2 years now in the funeral business.
Wow.
So nothing directly affecting me, but it brings up these issues of mortality.
Sure.
I'm getting to the age where I'm seeing friends, family, people with illnesses, cancers, people passing, and you start to think, wow, you know, maybe before I have that next cigarette, I should probably figure out
what my belief is, because as I said, when something big comes along, I'm going to need it. Whereas I really do think that the other three applicants here already have something. They're just dabbling. And I did that in my 20s and my 30s, and that was great. I would have called myself a Buddhist for the last 20 years. But that's not really a religion. Mm-hmm. It's a, you know.
Who did I say this to? Oh, remember, Tim, this conversation with Penn Jillette?
Yes.
I talked to him about Larry King being afraid of death. Mm-hmm. Remember his response? Well, he can smell it from where he is.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is, you know, you're older, and so you've got to that point now where you're thinking seriously about the fact that you might be dead next week.
I think it's a bit self-serving. I think I'm getting to the point realizing that if something really big comes along, I'm not so sure I'm going to have the internal resources to deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's a practical thing. It's cynical in a way.
I like the vulnerability you share there,
Greg.
Greg, as I'm looking at the list. Okay, Matt, you started us off. We're coming back to you. 1 to 10, how afraid of you are of death? Why can I say that?
I would say when you say the word death, there's dying and then being dead.
Yeah, not dying, being
dead. I'm scared of dying. Everybody is. But being dead, no. I'm not scared at all. Mark Twain said it best. He said, I was dead billions of years for billions and billions of years before I was born, and I didn't suffer the slightest inconvenience from
it. Right, right,
right,
right.
So I'm not scared of being dead whatsoever. I think consciously I'm not scared, but I think everybody subconsciously and deep down has a fear of death. There's no getting away from it. Everybody doesn't want to die.
Do you think religion was invented because of our fear of death?
I think it had something to do with it. I think you look at cargo cults when people couldn't explain why things
were
happening.
Those are the one with the pants?
No, not those ones. Not those ones. But do you guys know what cargo cults are?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, after the Second World War, what happened was that there were places like Papua New Guinea that were so war-torn that the Allies went in to help them out. And they would call in cargo to help them out. When they left, when they ran out of everything, they were like, we need to summon this cargo. They didn't understand what was going on beyond. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think
the fear of death is there, and
not understanding things is the reason religion has come about.
Right, right, right. Okay, yep. Do you know the name of the cargo cult?
No, no. I just want to talk about the whole are you scared of death kind of thing. It's interesting that Greg mentioned about
age.
About age. But for me, it's more what rules do I like? How can I find something to direct my life to leave a better world than I came into? Mm-hmm. Death is just the next step. It's going to happen. It's coming for you. You know, the minute you're born, you start dying. The name of the game is what positive impacts and what rules and religions and so on can help me lead to these positive impacts that make a difference in the world around you, essentially.
Right. So what I heard you say there was that I believe – I'm going to put words in your mouth,
please,
and you tell me
if
I'm screwy, okay? I believe that all the faith codes out there have got good stuff in them, and I want to get the good stuff from each faith code and apply that to my life. Do you see a downside to that? Because it sounds consumeristic. It sounds like that you've heard this before, the shopping cart, the aisle of religion, and you're picking and choosing. Really hunkering down into one.
No, exactly, which is – you know, obviously that draws issues, and a lot of people can easily identify some issues with that, which is where the open-mindedness and you being an intellectual and a bright individual can discern right from wrong and implement them in ways that make sense to you in your everyday life. So it's really down to a personal adventure, which is what Soul Survivor is all about.
Ryan, let's say we have the same tribal leader as we did the last time we did Soul Survivor. By the way, sorry, I realize we're in the middle of something that we should... It's radio, and I forgot people are listening. you're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're live right here on Joy 1250, covering Southern Ontario. This is our precursor to our contest we're going to do very soon called Soul Survivor, where religious tribes are going to compete for the soul of one person. Remember the first time we did it, we got in trouble from some people because, you know, Jesus people don't like competition. So what I want to say specifically to you, Ryan, at this point, and to all of you, this is the same question, so you guys have the luxury of a bit more time to think this through. We get the tribal leader from Team Jesus, Anne Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter. What do you want to ask the Jesus tribal leader person?
How long's the show?
I know.
I have a long list.
What jumps to the top? A couple things.
Jumps to the top.
how the church has behaved since Jesus supposedly left. And what justification is that? And I'm talking all the way through the first 1,000 years from Council of Nicaea. They decide, yeah, this sounds like a good religion. Let's just brush up these books a little bit, throw those Dominicans, Jesuits, and who's the other one? Franciscans.
Cargo cults.
All together. Let's doctor this up as best we can. All the way through Aquinas, right down to the American Constitution, right through now. Mm. How on earth can you justify the teachings of that man with the actions of what your church is?
Okay, so sort of hearing something along the lines of what's with the Crusades to the charades of Benny Hinn.
Nicely put. Sure. Yeah, that'd be one. And I mean, the 20th century, you can't argue that it was probably, as far as death goes, the worst in history. And it's argued that it's, you know, Hitler and Mussolini and all that was secular. Well, the fact of the matter is they're both baptized. They never renounced their baptism. The Catholic Church didn't apologize for the anti-Semitism until 15, 20 years after Nuremberg.
Or for their part in Rwanda.
So, yeah. Well, and shouldn't it go with, say, like, 2009 was a terrible year for Ratzinger. I mean, he shows up in Rwanda. He says, you know, AIDS is bad, very bad, but not as bad as condoms. You know, one has to reflect, and I think they owe an apology. Mm. I really do.
Interesting. Okay, all right. Chess.
I think my biggest question would be, what's with all the secrecy? For example, you know, like some of the religious sects and cults within the Catholic Church, is what's with them, and how do they affect actual politics, and how much of it are they overstepping their boundaries, or even if they are overstepping those boundaries? Hmm. That would definitely be my number one.
So when you said secrecies, I thought you were going to say in covering up the child molestation stuff.
That, everything down to, off the top of my head, Opus Dei.
Right.
You know, just not having a whole bunch about it.
Were you here when we had Opus Dei guy in? Remember the guy with the implant in the side of his head? Box? He had a box here. I thought it was Opus Dei cool stuff, like messages and things. It was just a hearing implement.
What?
Thing. Oh, the cochlear implant.
Yeah, that's it.
RoboCop, yeah.
Were you here when the Opus Dei guy came in?
Maybe.
He was cool. I liked it. It's not as cool as Dan Brown made it out to be. Let me just say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure, yeah. I have firsthand with all that type of stuff. I just like to talk about...
You have firsthand with Opus Dei?
Yeah.
Firsthand experience?
Yeah. Of course.
Show us.
Okay.
He's wearing a leg thing right now.
Yeah.
What's that thing called? They strap to their... with the albino guy?
Painful.
These guys are...
The rack and the leg? Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay. Okay, so secrecy, all right. Greg?
Yes.
First question for Team Jesus Leader and Graham Lotz.
I think I'd initially stay away from anything about historically, because it's just easy enough to say, fine, I agree, these parts were corrupt, these are issues, but you have to stick with the focus right now, which is, say, the message of Jesus,
right.
So what Christianity.
What you're saying is bad people have done bad stuff in all sorts of different things.
Why bark up the old trees again, right? Because that's always a dodge, because what you have to say is strip that all away, go read the Bible. Teaching of Jesus, do you think it's good or not, right?
Right. So what would you ask Anne?
I think more I'd be concerned about intercession, the ability to forgive sins and to intercede on people's behalf. So I have a real problem with clergy being the middlemen, not the actual teachings of Christianity, but the idea that they're the intermediary, that they're holding all the power, and that they can forgive, because I think it ends up becoming a compartmentalization of people's behavior. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than the mafia boss killing guys and then going to confession and then being a family man later. And I think it encourages people to absolve themselves of responsibility. So those are issues I have with the current mechanics of the church. Forget the history, because the Buddhists have done some crazy stuff. The Hindus are kind of weird at times too. You know, the Jews haven't been absolutely stain-free either. Mm-hmm. So... you know, that just goes, that ends up being a 3-week discussion and it doesn't move you forward.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Okay, finally, Matt, what do you say to Team Jesus? What's your first one or two questions?
I would say the same thing to Jesus as I would say to the rest
Jesus?
Of them.
To Jesus?
I say it to Jesus too. I would say to Team Jesus, the same thing I would say to all of them is, on a scale of 0 to 100 where you don't believe and you do believe, where are you on that and why are you on that? And how do you know what you know about that particular religion? And if you know these things about that religion, how do you square that with the fact that everybody else, they're all going to bring evidence to the table or they're going to bring faith. Mm-hmm. every single one of these faiths or religions is going to bring the exact same thing to the table with no proof that I've seen. Mm-hmm. I would love to see one of them bring proof to the table or something that that can change my mind, like I said. I'm sure the Buddhists would say that Vipassana is actually scientifically proven to help you, Vipassana meditation. But I'm curious as to all of them, how they know what they know, how they've got there, how I could get there, and that's basically it.
So, again,
I don't care about the history. I don't care about any of that. They can all rationalize their history. Mm-hmm. Even like if they're good or bad, they can all say, oh, well, it was these people, and don't worry about that. But that's not really what I'm curious about. I'm curious about the religious beliefs in general and how they know these things.
Tim, this has been one of the best segments we've ever had on our show. It certainly is the best segment today, except for Gracie.
Gracie.
Did you hear her?
Yeah, she was really good.
Holy cow.
I also want to say that the guy who started Hooters also died at 69.
Ooh.
We were talking about the 69?
Conspiracy.
Dying at 69.
Do you die of cancer, too?
He was in the valley.
You think that guy died of cancer?
Valley of death.
He shall not fear the valley.
Yeah.
That guy died of suffocation.
Oh, boy. That's funny. Well, listen. Seriously, I don't like any of you because you've just made this really stinking hard. You know, there's part of me that just thinks we should have the four of you back in every week. That
just
was
grill
such
all
an
of them, us five or four of us grill.
There's lots more to say.
Yeah, there's so much more.
You guys do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, we've got to leave it there because that's what radio is. There's boundaries, and we just can't keep going. It's not like we're out for a pint.
We should go for a pint.
So Matt, Greg, Chess, and Ryan, thank you very, very much. There's another gal who's interested in doing this as well and couldn't make it today, so... I really don't know what to do. Tim and I are going to have to talk about this.
Over a pint?
But seriously, I know it sounds like I'm supposed to say that kind of suck-up stuff, but wow, that was just fantastic. What a great dialogue.
You chose us for reasons, right? Good reasons.
Yeah.
It was God that chose us.
What is wrong with
I'm
you?
Just praise
the Lord.
Yeah. Jeez. Come on. It's providential.
All right, we're going to take a short break on our show. I really enjoyed that. Man, that was good. All right. We'll be back. Bye.